Blog Talk Radio.
Girl is on fire.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More, and I'm your host, Lori Frazee. I want to start out by thanking my guest. Well, I would like to thank my guest, anybody that's ever been on the show. I realize that everybody has important lives and busy lives, and for you guys to ever take time to come and chat with me about either your event, your product, or just barbecue in general, that's what it's all about, and that's what keeps me having a show every week. I did miss last week. I recently picked up a trailer, so you've been kind of hearing the adventures of Trailer City. And, you know, there's a lot to do to a trailer when you are trying to make it legal for the Florida Department of Professional DBPR business regulations. And, yeah, it's kind of a pain in the patootie, but it is what keeps hopefully keeps people safe. But I see things and I'm like, well, how are they doing that? So it's been kind of fun, and I want to thank everybody that's helping me. Going to get that rig going soon. I'll be out at a contest, and I can't wait to have it there. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Sweet Smoke, the letter Q, .com, if you want to get a hold of Jim for any of his products, Swamp Boys. And, you know, I saw today online, and I hadn't had a chance to talk to Rub. He told me that he was working on a rub. And I saw that he's got a sample batch to him, and I know people are looking forward to having that on the market for another edge in competition, so we're looking forward to that. Hot Wachulas, Matt, you know Matt, and Jim and Rub are right there at the top of the team of the year, and so it looks like it could be a pretty close year again in the race for team of the year in the state of Florida. Jim McCoyne, I know he was in, let's see, we were in Thomaston last weekend, and so everybody's working on those points, and it stays pretty close, and right now we're all pretty close at the top of the pack. So I do want to congratulate everybody from this weekend, but I kind of got detoured because I was talking about three of my sponsors who are up there at the top of the list for Team of the Year. Fire Butler, if you haven't seen, Weber has a new kettle out. It's called the Summit. And Grillocracy, it's a blog. It has a nice little write-up on it, and it refers to Meathead, I guess, had a write-up on it too. But basically, it's like $1,800, and it looks like a cross between if a Green Egg and a Weber made it, it would make a Summit. So, you know, Fire Butler is an added cooking accessory that basically if you put in a $99 Weber, you could pretty much have a Summit because, you know, we were comparing it to a Green Egg, and basically what they've done is they've created that hybrid, as I'll call it. But so if you have a Weber kettle out there and you go, well, I would like to be able to smoke a brisket on it and not worry about having to check the coals every, you know, hour or so, check into Fire Butler, and you'll see that that can do the trick for you. I'm super happy with the performance that it gives. I've had as many as 8 racks of ribs on a 26-inch. So, I mean, you kind of forget if you put if I'm cooking with a 26-inch, put a 22-inch grate with some lag screws on there and make like a double-decker. I've had as many as 8 racks of ribs on a 26-inch. So you might want to check into Fire Butler, and that's firebutler.com, or you can check out Troy on Facebook also. Royal Oak Charcoal, I'm a big fan of the lump charcoal. I didn't used to be. I was always afraid to try it, and I kind of have become more partial to the lump. The briquettes still burn really great, and they work beautiful for like your pit barrel cookers, your drum, Sweet Smoke Q drum, and the Fire Butler too. So you might want to check out Royal Oak if you haven't had any of them. Rectech Pellet Cookers, cookingpellets.com. You know, they're basically guys come over and get my leftover bags when I'm at a contest. If I have some, please come by if you've never tried them and get them to try because they will burn slower. And if you have a Rectech and you're using another pellet, you know, you might want to try the cookingpellets.com. That cooker is calibrated for it, so you will see a difference in your performance. And, again, if I'm at a contest, don't hesitate to come over and say, hey, I want to try some of that stuff you're talking about. I'm happy to do it. And then Chops power injector. If you're injecting stuff, whether it's for catering or competition, one of those power injectors will change your life for sure. Want to congratulate Bull Rush. They took the walk, I should say, into the lake there in Thomaston because they got grand champion, and that was the Georgia state championship. This week we've got Dothan, Alabama. That's the Alabama state championship for the Florida Barbecue Association. And then Cocoa Beach here in Florida will be this year's Florida state championship designated contest. So congratulations to you guys. I don't know if you made it yet to the Sunnies and a Jack Draw and World Food Championship qualifier. So congratulations on that. Also wanted to say, if you missed my Facebook picture from today, I ran into the boys from Carter Q. My dad and I frequent a place for lunch called Gator Docksides in Ocala, and I see Josh there from time to time, and he's always with his working buddies coming off the golf course. And today he said, Jared's coming right behind me. So I stood at the greeting desk, and was as Jared walked in, he kind of like shook his head because he's thinking, that looks like Lori, but she's not where she's supposed to be. And then, of course, he saw Josh and didn't think he was just a total freak. I was there. The waitresses were good sports. Let's just say that about the whole thing. So, you know, there's always lots going on in Florida because of our beautiful weather, but there's stuff going on all over the U.S. Right now in barbecue. Want to remind you that Danielle's book, Diva Q's cookbook, is getting ready to come out. I was promised an early book of that, so I don't know if I'm going to get that or not. I hope so. She's supposed to be letting me know when it's good time to get another interview with her and talk about the book. Junior Urias, just kind of things I saw online today, he's talking to somebody about a restaurant, so that's really good. Now, Mo Kaysan, ran into him in, I don't know, whatever contest it was, and he was telling me he was coming to Panama City, but I haven't heard any more about that, so we need to check into that. It's always great to see competitors doing really well when they open either a restaurant or food truck or catering business. We love to see that. I, you know, really want to pat the guys on their back, that Good Buddies. You guys have really stirred a reputation in the state for having that high-quality barbecue. It's really tough to have people being consistent. I mean, you know, we used to joke about the Sunnies being what a lot of people thought of as average barbecue, and they took a hard look at it. You know, John and I have talked about it, Awesome Q, and the corporate took a hard look at it. Bull Rush is working for him. He's training people. I love to see that because it does bring great quality barbecue to the masses, and that's always fun to see. Now, I see, and I think this is my first guest, so I know you haven't pressed one yet, but I'm going to go to this number because if my guest is there, we're going to get on here and talk. Jay, is that you?
No, David.
Oh, well, David, while we wait for Jay, you know what? I looked back at my list, and I thought that was David, or I thought that was Jay's number. I didn't have it crossed over with you. So we've got David Haskett here, and I saw that you were doing some catering last weekend.
Oh, yes. I've been dabbling in it here lately. It seems like I've been getting a lot of calls on retirement parties. So I've been kind of getting busy with that, when just people calling up.
Well, that's
up,
great.
Like people I know.
Go ahead. Oh, well, one of the things that while we're getting ready to talk to Jay about the Fernandina Beach contest, you're actually helping organize the steak portion of it, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Friday night, we got the SCA sanctioned steak jackpot. First prize, $500. Second prize is $250. Third prize, $150. Fourth, $100. And fifth place is $75. And then, in addition to that, we are also now part of the of our event is the Grill Grate Challenge, in the highest ranking placing team that uses grill grates during the contest will get an extra $500, and all that for a great $75 entry fee. So basically, if you're the number one team and you use grill grates, you're looking at $1,000 payout for a $75 entry fee, and of course, we supply the steaks.
You know, that was, because I was just going to ask you, isn't that a lower payout than normal? But I think you just answered that question.
Yeah, it's the same. The 500 is the same we did the last time we did one in Fernandina for the state jackpot is what we did. Same thing, Jay ran the first one we ever did in Florida. He did that one, and it went over real well. And this one here, we're doing the same thing. Like, so we're paying out the fifth place, $75 at fifth place, and we just added that extra $500 to the first place. And not even it might not even be first place. If the first place team is cooking on grill grates, it'll drop down to the next place until
cool.
we find somebody to use the grill grates to pick up an extra $500. So get your grill grates from Brad Barrett.
Yep.
Hey, get on this thing.
And Jay is on the line, but let me just ask you real quick before I go over to Jay, how can somebody still sign up for that? Because I know I want to be cooking that even though I'm repping.
You can go to the SCA website and click on the cook-off section at SCA.org, I think it is.
Okay.
And click on the cook-off section, and you go to the little calendar and scroll over to June, and you'll see on Friday night you click on it and can sign up.
All right.
Right there online. Take care of everything right there.
Okay. Well, I hope you stay with us. I'm glad that I actually went to that number. I thought it was maybe Jay. And so thanks for chatting a second, and we're going to go right over to Jay, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, David. Okay, so we're going to go right to – let me get my little – my mouse doesn't want to work right now. Hang on, Jay. I know you're there. My mouse must have been in a trap today. Jay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
Great. So we've got Jay Robertson with us from the Fernandina Beach Contest, and you have multiple contests there, but this is going to be your first FBA sanctioned contest, isn't it?
Yes, it will be the first, my first, and the city's first, which is pretty exciting. We've kind of held everything else underneath the radar there. So, you know, we've had the KCBS event for a while, and then we did the Georgia Barbecue Association a couple times, and some non-sanctioned, and some SCA cooks, all kind of stuff. So, you know, we're excited to have FBA come to Amelia Island. So,
well, and we're really excited about it because, you know, and I'm sure you know this, yours is one of the only non-sanctioned contests that you really get a big draw. I mean, let's face it, it's very tough for a lot of us. I mean, yours is the only one non-sanctioned that I've done in the last 2 years, and it's very tough for other people to commit to that. So that really says something about what you do for not only the teams but for the organization there.
Yeah, you know, we really try, you know, being unsanctioned, you know, we really try to bend over backwards for everybody. And even the ones that we've been able to do that are sanctioned, I mean, you know, we're a small town, and, you know, we like to treat everybody like guests, and, you know, welcome them into our home, whether it's through an event or, you know, even just coming back to town. And, you know, we've made a lot of really great friends through it, and they come back to the island to vacation and, you know, check out other things that we have. And, you know, that's what, and you guys all know, that's what this big barbecue family is all about, is, you know, more about making connections than, you know, anything else. And I'm just happy to be part of it. So,
well, you know, I had a little chat with you know, Thomas Henry from Budmeister's. He's done your contest before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So I was talking to him yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, supporting events that maybe might be sanctioned in the future. And, you know, because he was an organizer. As an organizer, how are you deciding when and how many to have, and maybe who to go with as the sanctioning body? How do you take a look at all of that?
Well, you know, it's basically been, you know, we've done our unsanctioned events, our rib cook-off and our butts and brisket one now. This is our eighth year with those.
Wow.
And and it's started off small, and, you know, we always get we have a couple FBA reps that live in town, so they've been in my ear for years about doing FBA stuff. And I had a couple guys that competed in our unsanctioned stuff that really pushed me into doing a couple of GBA events just to get them into Florida, and we were their first Florida event. So we were really proud to be part of that. The KCBS one was done through a different group, although I did help out a little bit, so I really didn't have too much to do with that. But the FBA one, you know, everybody that's kind of come through is, you know, they love the venue, which is, you know, I can't blame them for that. We're right there at the beach, and, you know, it's they've been in my ear for a while about giving it a shot, and, you know, we've done the Battle of the Beach unsanctioned for the last couple of years, and I thought, you know, well, what better time than to do it now? So, yeah, we'll give it a shot and, you know, put our best effort into it. We think we've put on, you know, put together a decent little show for everybody, and, you know, a lot of really fun little side things that go along with it, and some hopefully some great music that goes along with it as well. So hopefully it'll be a good weekend for everybody.
Well, are you going to have, because, you know, now we don't know what to expect over there, but I know it'll all be good. Are you planning to have other vendors and like you said, you're looking at music and bands and stuff?
Yeah, we, you know, we'll have, well, it's going to be a full-on festival for us, so we're going to take that opportunity to turn it into a festival. We've had several teams already ask about vending food, and we've got a whole catalog of, you know, non-food vendors and other little side food vendors like the you know, the small stuff like the kettle corn and the snow cones, and so we'll bring in the bounce houses for the families and some other little sideshow stuff, and we've had a lot of interest and a lot of feedback from the bluegrass area, so
nice.
We'll have a full bluegrass festival, you know, everything with harmonica and banjo competitions and everything that goes along with that. So we're putting together a pretty good show for the weekend.
Wow. Now, the use of that park, and I mean, I think about really successful events. Yours is obviously one of them, Apopka, Venice. They're very oriented to the cities or the county. Really, really back that. With that particular park, do you guys do a lot of venue events there?
There's probably, I would say, 10 to 12 events at that area throughout the year. We utilize it for maybe 4 or 5, and then we have some outside groups that come in that will rent through the city and utilize that space, like we get the Relay for Life, a couple of running events. There's a triathlon that comes to town 3 times a year that utilizes it. So, you know, we've been kind of a hot spot for events here in the past 5 years. And, you know, we've got not only that area, but several of our other parks are, you know, they get utilized quite a bit. So,
yeah. You know, in the past, I was affiliated with agriculture, and the Florida fruit and vegetable guys, the tomato guys, they all have their conventions up there. And so it became a hot spot for a bunch of farmers, and we used to go, always held at the Amelia Island, oh, my God, I just lost it.
The plantation?
No. You talk about a big brain fart just happened. I can't even think right now. Anyway, it's always been up there. It's really great. I think that Amelia Island and Fernandina Beach, it is one of those kind of hidden treasures, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, as a local, it's become less and less hidden, which,
right.
You know, for us being selfish, that it's been a little tough on us. You know, there's a lot of change and a lot of booming going on, but, you know, compared to some other areas, we're still pretty low-key and still kind of hidden. But our tourist group, they do a great job of promoting us, and, you know, we get a lot of pretty amazing things in our little, you know, 21-square-mile area, so we're pretty lucky.
Yeah, and that was going to be one of my other questions, and by the way, it's the Ritz-Carlton that always hosts the Ag people. Does the tourism people, whether it be the county or the city, do they help you with the funding of these events?
for the most part, no. They do help a lot with the marketing aspect, which is kind of their mission. They were the ones that used to do the Great Southern Tailgate, so mm-hmm. that was one of their few events that they fully funded. And every now and then they'll chip in to help out some new events. They do have a kind of a, I think it's kind of a grant process that new events can apply through, and they have money available. They are willing to chip in a little bit, but you know, the city and the tourist group, the agreement that we usually have with them is they help spread the word if they think that it's gonna help bring some people to the island, to help out with the hotels, to help out with stuff like that. But
sure.
Yeah, for the most part, with the events that we do, we try to find either a way to fund it ourselves, or we'd like to partner with a lot of nonprofits. Like, we just got done doing a music and craft beer festival in mid-March, where we partnered with a nonprofit. I think we were able to raise right around $46,000 for that nonprofit. So.
Oh my goodness! Really?
Yeah. So it was a 3-day festival, and we had some major music acts come in, and it's our third year doing it, and we've probably raised through the 3 years of doing that event probably about $100,000. So.
You know, that's great. People always fear barbecue competitions because they see it as a losing endeavor, and they do it because of the love of it. But there are ways to make money. It's just that you have to have that staff, and you have a lot of people that are able to back you up.
Yeah, and you know, with us, normally for a lot of events, it's not necessarily about making money. We're not in the for-profit business, so
right.
Although we do like to recoup our costs, and we do like to, come out a little bit ahead just to not waste taxpayer dollars, but we've been pretty lucky where we're able to manage those funds, where most of the time we will come out ahead. So, but the partnering with those nonprofits allows us to both, have a little extra operating money, and then also, give back to the community,
sure.
which is really what we're all about, bringing in a unique experience, and then also, getting some money back into a great cause.
Yeah, and whenever you're able to do that, it's just amazing the amount of people that come out to volunteer and help with the situation too, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it really helps. It's a little self-serving on both sides because,
sure.
they kind of get to take the nonprofit gets to take a little stuff off their plate where they don't have to do the planning aspect, and then we kind of do it. Because we're a rather small department, so we get to utilize their volunteers and, kind of their marketing platform as well, which goes a long way because, the city, or at least our city department, we rely on kind of guerrilla marketing. So it's either through mass Facebook or social media blasts or, just word of mouth or stuff like that, because realistically our city limits, we're a 12,000-person city, and that's
mm-hmm.
necessarily what we're geared for is, promoting within city limits. Anything outside of that is just kind of a bonus for us. So.
Yeah, but you bring in those, whether it's the barbecue contest. I think about your place, Madeira Beach. When we're at Madeira 2 years ago, we literally went out for lunch and dinner in the same day, and we never do that, and it was just a bunch of us. So that there's money being spent in the area. I think about World Food Championship, and while we were at the awards, it was the barbecue people that we were spending the money. Oh wait, because that we were drinking. And, you really do bring a bunch of income in there. Let's talk just a little bit, because I really love your format of the Butts and Brisket as one of the non-sanctioned events that you have. Why don't you talk just a little bit about that and how that came to be?
Well, we do pretty much the same format for our rib cook-off and the Butts and Brisket. So a rib cook-off we do in March, and then we turn around and do Butts and Brisket in the fall, where, we want to make everything as easy on the cooks as we do as as the people coming out. So what we do is we provide all the meat that's involved. You know, for the ribs, I think we do three slabs of baby backs and three slabs of St. Louis style. And then in the fall, we do two butts and a brisket for everybody. You know, you guys turn in whatever you can to the judges, usually for enough for six judges. And then everything else we take back, we package it with sides that we provide. And then we sell community plates of some real competition-style barbecue back to our public for $10 a plate. And we make it really affordable for them to come out and probably grab their best barbecue meal they'll have all year just for $10. And that includes, you know, barbecue, sides, a roll, and sweet or unsweet tea for $10. And we provide music and do a little mini festival, you know, probably a 3-4 hour thing. And, you know, we've been really fortunate to have, and that's kind of how we've grown our relationships in the barbecue community, where, you know, we keep the prices way down. We keep the entry fee kind of based on what it's going to cost us to buy the meat. So we try to break even at that point. And then, you know, we'll make a little bit off the plate sales. You know, we usually clear, I don't know, about $3,000, $4,000 per event. And, you know, that's just something that we can do in-house through the rec department without really any other involvement, just something small and fun for everyone to come back. And, like, with the rib cook-off coming on, we just had our 8th year, we've sold out of ribs every year within an hour. So,
wow.
And that's usually about, I don't know, about 400 plates within an hour. So
that's amazing.
Butts and brisket, for some reason, we never seem to sell out. I think it's kind of a lot of people aren't they're a little turned off by brisket because all they usually get is some restaurant, you know, cheap and fast brisket. They don't really understand that what competition style brisket is like. We get some people that look forward to it, but, you know, we'll usually get through about 275 plates, and then we'll usually be left with probably another 50 to 60 left over. But we usually either bring them to the fire department or through the Hope House or, you know, like one of the homeless shelters or something like that. So it never goes to waste. You know, we still make a little bit of money off of it. We're you know, it's still a really great time right there at the beach. This past year was our biggest year with Butts and Brisket. I think we got right around 42 themes. Rib cook-off, we're usually right around 60 to 65. This year was a little slow with we fell on the same weekend as the National Barbecue Conference, and then also Bainbridge was that weekend as well. So,
yeah.
But, no, we still had a great turnout with that. I think we had 44 with that as well, even with those two big events going on. So,
that's good.
Yeah, we'd like to think it's – partly because we know what we're doing, or, you know, and the way we treat guys, but you also can't pass up a free weekend at the beach. So,
well, you know, I thought when we got over there to do Butts and Brisket, and that was the first year I did that, I was cooking Fire Butler that weekend, and it was like, well, you know, since this is going to be only the second time we're using this, why don't we do two, you know, be Fire Butler 1 and 2, and because it was so affordable. I mean, quite frankly, it was the cost of the meat. It made sense to have, like, we were doing a double practice. So it was a lot of fun, and I know the teams really enjoy that. I know you got killed with rain, and that was my first outing in my cast, so I couldn't make it up to get the awards in time.
Yeah, I know. And it held out right there until award time, too. And that was, you know, we've always had pretty good luck with rain, knock on wood. But, yeah, right when we started doing awards, we got kind of rained on. You know, I look around and see a lot of other Facebook posts of competitions and, you know, where they pretty much live in the rain for the duration of it. And we've been pretty lucky over the last 8-some-odd years of really not having any true monsoons, except I think our first GBA event, we actually had a tornado whiz right by a couple streets down, but which is very rare on the island. I think that's maybe the first tornado I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So,
Wow.
So,
now, are you still hosting GBA events?
No, we did a couple of years with them, and then I took a year off from kind of that big. It was right about the same time that we're doing this one for FBA. Kind of took a break around that time frame. Just I had a lot of stuff. I probably do 13 to 14 events throughout the year. So I just needed a little break, and then took a year or two to kind of think about some things, and I decided to offer, the Battle of the Beach, the Invitational unsanctioned one for a couple of years, and here we are this year rolling it out sanctioned wise. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah, and you're not just going in with FBA. I thought that was your number, and I got David on there. You're also hosting the SCA, the State Cook-Off Association, on Friday night. We had the first one there at Butts and Brisket. Why don't you talk about how that all came to be, because you trained a bunch of us for, well, you didn't, but that gave the opportunity for a lot of us to get trained as judges, too, there.
Yeah, Tim Wysocki with Bluesy Q Open Middleburg, he and I had talked about it a couple times. We've done a couple other little state cook-offs. We actually did one at Battle of the Beach, I think it was 2 years ago, and we've done a couple. And Tim kind of mentioned over the past year or so, he's like, I need to get you in touch with this Brett Galloway out in he does the CA down in Texas, and they'd like to come out this way. Well, I'm usually a person that doesn't say no to too much, so I was like, well, get them in touch with me and let's figure it out. So our schedules ended up colliding in October, so he found an opening, I found an opening, so we decided to roll it out there with the hopes of kind of getting a little exposure here for those guys prior to the National Barbecue Conference, because they had one there in Jacksonville as well. And then once we announced Battle of the Beach, Dave Haskett, who you had on earlier, he mentioned, hey, why don't we bring back SCA? I'm trying to become a rep in March. He goes, I'd like to run that side of it for you if you want to have it there. And I was like, well, of course, the more the merrier. Let's make it a super attractive weekend. Let's anything that we can do to, especially promote SCA, and then also have more stuff for everybody to do, more chances to win money. Let's have it. So
yeah,
he's kind of he spearheaded that, and I'm sure we'll get a great turnout for that. I know there's some guys that have traveled, before it's made its Florida premiere. I know Rub and those guys have traveled around to do some SCA stuff. So, I think it'll be exciting for some of those guys to be able to cook it here in Florida. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think probably the majority of us that cooked our first SCA event was when Florida hosted the contest out in Hobbs, New Mexico. And pretty much every Florida team that was there, we all cooked steaks, and it was a blast. I mean, it was a great time. And so when you were bringing it in, you really had a bunch of people excited. And I forget, do you remember how many people were at that first steak cook-off? Because I think it was like 30-some, or almost everybody that competed at your Butts and Brisket did steak, didn't they?
Yeah, I think we were around 28 or 30. So
yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head, because we even had a couple teams sneak in and just do steaks. They didn't even do Butts and Brisket, so they came in, did their little 7-minute cook, and they were in and out of there. So,
literally,
that's one of the
you
great
could show
things
up
about
with
it.
A show up with a chimney and just do that with a grill grate on top if you had to. No, that was a lot of fun. You said you were going to have some other things. I remember that we cooked wings one year at your Battle at the Beach. Are you doing anything else like that?
Now we've got two other little side things. We kind of left SCA on its little island with Friday night. We've got two other little side categories that we're going to incorporate on Saturday. We've got a Queen of the Grill competition, that way you ladies can have a little fun as well. What we've got for that is, any ladies that are cooking or even there with their, significant others or just hanging out and they want to cook a dish as well. We're going to kind of let them do their own signature dish, and we're going to have them
have them turn it in a little later in the day. You know, let them be creative. You know, I know you ladies love to be creative, so let you guys be creative. Really turn in something special. I believe our turn-in for that is 3 o'clock, and then, you know, we've got a neat little prize lined up for our lady winner. And then we also have the Barbecue Civil War, which we've kind of taken off of what Thomas and those guys do, you know, with the Georgia versus Florida matchup. But I know there's a lot of trash talk about, you know, which region can, you know, outcook other regions. So we've kind of broken down Florida into quadrants that, you know, incorporate X number of counties here and this count from this county over for this one. And then we've thrown in the whole state of Georgia as well. So I think there's 5 or 6 regions where it'll be a 4-man team, and they can, you know, join forces and put together the, you know, the ultimate turn-in plate as well. So,
well, that'll be cool. that'll be something really fun. I was fortunate enough to judge that Florida Georgia box 2 years ago, and I still have pictures I marvel over that I was able to take. Those guys put together beautiful boxes that you'll never see anywhere else. That's why that's so cool. So I look forward to seeing that. Is there anything that you need from, well, I'll say the FBA, but our members as you're getting ready for the contest that we can help you do, you know, this far out?
No, just, you know, just spread the word. You know, I definitely promise to put on a good show, and you won't find too many other venues that'll be as accommodating as, you know, what we have to offer. I mean, literally, you know, 100 steps to the ocean. So, you know, we hope to have a great crowd. I mean, I would like to fill all our spaces. You know, we're pretty much big enough to probably be able to accommodate, you know, 40 to 45 pro teams and another 15 to 20 backyard teams. So I'd like to cram everybody in and, you know, have a great weekend. So, you know, anybody that can help spread the word, we're, you know, we're excited. I'm excited to have some new people in town and, you know, make some new acquaintances. So.
Well, I'm going to just say, I think somebody may have a question because I've got a different number in here. So let me just see if somebody here had a question. It may be Tim on a different line, but the 727, did you have a question for Jay?
Actually, yes. I needed some advice. This is BJ. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. Whereabouts in Florida are you guys? I'm in the Tampa Bay area.
We are right on the Florida-Georgia border, probably about 25 minutes north of Jacksonville.
Okay, I know exactly where you guys are. Listen, I'm not to the level of what you guys do, but I've entered a few cooking tournaments and competitions here in Central Florida. There's one coming up this weekend in Largo. And long story short, I've done fairly well in them, especially with like things like chili and stuff. And now that it's not so much judges, it seems like more in South Florida, excuse me, and some of the other areas, what they're doing is they're allowing people to buy tickets. Then the fans vote by buying tickets and giving tickets into the box of the chili that's the best. But let's say I like your chili or your ribs or whatever it is, your brisket. I can go buy 50 tickets and put them all in your box even though I'm one guy. And have you guys heard of this? Have you seen competitions judged like this in the state of Florida?
Yeah, it's called People's Choice.
Okay,
and
there you go.
And, BJ, just to kind of speak on that, we do we actually do a chili cook-off right downtown Fernandina in February. And we have an aspect like that allows, you know, there to be a People's Choice Award. But, you know, we always – and I'm never the biggest fan of the People's Choice, but just because, you know, what you speak of, it can get a little skewed or it can be kind of – I want to say kind of dumbed down, especially when you let them go booth to booth about – you know, the way things are either presented or whether they're, and granted, hooray for those guys to putting on, you know, a good show for the crowd. I mean, I guess that goes a long way too, but I think it's really tough to get a true, you know, because being a cook, you probably want it to be just by your product. And it's pretty difficult to kind of, I think, get a true estimate of what that is from the people's choice. You know, with our chili cook-off we do in February, we have that aspect, but then we do a completely different aspect where we do the actual judging as well. So that way we know, like, we give the guys a couple different options to be able to win, you know, the people's choice, the spiciest, the judging aspect. So that way they can kind of gauge where they are depending on, you know, is it everyday person walking around? Was it my booth? Was it this? You know, or what do real judges think of my product? So that way you get, well, you kind of get the taste of both worlds.
Well, what happened recently is I was doing pretty well in the competition. This is over just outside of Ocala, not too far from you guys. And I noticed right towards the end at around 4 o'clock when it was getting ready to end and then they count the tickets, a group knew that they were kind of behind. So the parent of one of the people went and bought about 30 tickets and stuffed them in. I mean, minutes before it was over, I didn't even know if they had chili. We had another competition in near Lutz, Florida, 2 weeks later. Same thing went to happen, and I saw the group that did it. They were getting ready to do it again, but they still had to go around and taste the chili. So I saw the guy that stuffed the ballot box, so to speak, and he was coming over to my booth. So I figured there's two things you could do. You could, you know, take the loss. But what I did is I went over to the chili because we had some left, and you give it to everybody in a little cup, almost like you're dishing out pills, and I jerked off in it. I blew a load with my wong inside the stew and fed it to him.
Trying to kill him right now. BJ, you are a BJ asswipe. Don't ever call again. Okay, so, sorry, Jay.
Oh, nice.
That's what happens when it's live. And by the way, if anybody wants to call BJ, I have his number, so teach people to do shit like that. Anyway, Jay, I did have a question come over a text, and with somebody wondering when you would be starting to confirm judges.
Probably next week. I'm on vacation this week. We've had a super busy March, so I've gotten a lot of applications, which is great. We'll start going through those next week, and then hopefully have some stuff coming out the end of next week.
Well, and as you can imagine, because people do look forward to your contest, probably there's a lot of people real anxious about that. I'm real excited that I'm going to be a rep. So I didn't know if my trailer would be done or not, and so I said, hey, I at least will be there. So really excited to be over working with you and the team that they have going on. So how many judges are you going to be taking on?
I don't know. I've got my little calculator thing that that Bob Youngblood sent me. So I believe it's right around 40. So
wow. 40, okay.
40 to 45. So we're going to lock some stuff in with Host Hotel probably next week as well. So I want to be able to have all that information before I confirm with everybody. That way I can, as soon as I confirm, I can send out, you know, the hotel information that goes along with it, and that way it's a nice streamlined process for everybody. So you know, the hotel's right down the street, so we're probably half a mile from the event, so I want everybody to have all the information at once, so I should have all the information.
Yeah, you do a great job, and it's obvious that you're really well organized. We really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to it, and I'm sure everybody will be spreading the word.
Well, good. Yeah, like I said, I'm excited. You know, I know having SBA come to town is going to be an exciting thing. You know, some of the best cooks in the world, you know, even though they're cooking a lot of different things, they're SBA by heart. And I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of them through several other events, whether it be just bumping into them at the KCBS event or, you know, at the unsanctioned Battle of the Beach. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to offering a you know, quality FBA product. So.
Well, thanks a lot, and I appreciate you coming on tonight.
All right, and hopefully you dodge BJ on his callback. So.
I just got a text from somebody. They're wanting the number, so I'm going to go ahead and give his number out. Yeah, hey, you call in and you do stuff like that. I did it to somebody else. All right, thanks.
Well, good. All right. See you later.
All right. That's Jay Robertson. Thanks so much with the battle at the beach, the rib cook-off, the butts and brisket, and now the FBA new sanction contest here, and that's over my birthday weekend, so I'm really looking forward to it. And by the way, if you want to call BJ, his number is 727-333-0766. So hopefully we can find out who that really is, and if you're an FBA member, you'll probably be hearing from me too. So we're going right to... I'm getting some Facebook messages that are pretty funny here. There's a few people listening that caught that. And I am going straight to Tim. I see that that's your call. How are you doing tonight?
How you doing, Lori?
You didn't call the 727 guy?
I'm going to as soon as it's over.
Okay, well, good. I'll feel good about some of you guys reaching
out.
I'm
going to blow his ass up.
Yeah, we've got Tim Malloy with us from Backyard Bros. He busts my chops every once in a while when I don't ask him to come on or I'm not in a same proximity as him at a contest to get a quick interview with him. And so you've been on the road. You've been putting in some time. How many contests have you got in so far this year?
I think in this FBA calendar year, 13.
Yeah, you're. What did you do last year all year?
I think we did probably 15 or something like that. Pretty close to that.
So you're in a couple of months and you're already about where you were last year. You've had some restructuring on your team, haven't you?
Yeah, we got rid of a little bit of negativity that was on the team, and we've got some new members. Well, Kerry's been cooking with me since day one almost, and Brad's been cooking with us when he can, and they've both been a lot of big help.
Yeah, Brad seems to be a nice fit there. And, you know, I was – oh, shoot. Can you think of the name of his team was?
Full of Bull.
Wow. Yeah, it's Full of Bull. I knew it was Bull somebody. Full of Bull, and he's down in the Brooksville area, so that's been a nice little fit for you guys. And he's real nice. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, it's fun to have people that you – I know you knew Kerry for a long time, and it's fun to have people that you can work with. Now, you started bringing on not only Spike the barbecue dog, but your son and Patty Melt. They've really gotten involved with the team too, haven't they?
They have, yep. Every time they get a chance to come out, they do. It's turned into a family deal, and, you know, I got to go out sometimes by myself, just me and Kerry, but, you know, every chance they get to come with us, it makes for a better weekend, that's for sure.
It really does, and I really, I'm sure it's changed not only your ability to go, and I don't mean that like somebody's complaining about it, but it makes it easier when the family unit is there and they're all having a good time, doesn't it?
It does, and the barbecue family's really, you know, taking a liking to Patty, and she has to them, and that's really been nice having her out with us.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. I kind of really thought about the different kids that, you know, I think about doing this for some time. We've watched the Blitzkrieg kids really grow up. In the last year, Brock has skyrocketed, but they were all gathered, and I'm trying to I think they were behind Blazin' Seven's trailer in Apopka, the whole group of kids, and it was pretty late. They're all hanging out, just, you know, not getting in any trouble. They're doing their barbecue family thing, and it seemed like they're all having a pretty good time together too.
Well, that's good that I got a report that they weren't getting in any trouble, because I don't really have too many rules there with him, you know. I don't even tell him when to come in. I'm generally asleep before he is.
You just don't want him getting in trouble.
No, you know, generally we're in a pretty confined area, and we pretty much know what's going on.
Yeah, that people will let you know for sure. So as you guys progress into this year, I know you've changed some of your cooking. You've switched up your chicken a little bit. Why don't you talk about that? Because that gets to be a tough thing for not only seasoned cook, but new cooks when they don't stick with one cooker. Talk a little bit about some of your changes there, Tim.
Well, we felt like we were getting too much of a smoky taste or whatever on the chicken when we put it in the gravity fed. So I bought the Gateway drum specifically for chicken, and I guess what happened there was we still had I was still putting some wood chunks in there, and I'm still getting it. So now I've taken the wood chunks completely out, running it at a good temperature, you know, that will hold the whole time. And that's made a big difference, at least in the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks with us, because we were, like, getting goose-egged in chicken. It didn't matter what I did. And then I guess about 3 weeks ago, I brought in a Weber to do wings on. And I talked to Troy Nadal with Fire Butler, and I bought the Fire Butler too. And that's been a difference maker for us. Besides changing up, we've changed up a few profiles and things like that, but that's made it real nice for the wings and everything. And you know, we're watching the cooker good. That's not getting away from us. And past few weeks anyway, 4th and Northport and 3rd and Thomaston, which we're really happy with. That's turned out really good.
Yeah, I knew you were going to be happy in Northport. You had a really good cook over there, and then to go to Thomaston and do so well, so I'm sure you were pretty thrilled about that. Why do you think, because there's guys that just live and die by the Gateway, do you just think that because you're using the other cooker that you can't watch it? Is that what you might think is happening, or what?
No, it's just we actually added a guru to it so we could kind of control the temp. Those things want to just run hot, like 300 minimum, and we just kind of tamed it, putting a guru on there. And the chicken I want to cook lower. I want to cook the chicken around 250. I know there's a lot of people out there cooking chicken hot, but every time I do that, the skins peel up on me, and it's just easier to maintain the chicken while we got everything else going on. And now with the Fire Butler, I'm cooking the wings at 350 for an hour, and they're turning out great.
Yeah, but I'm super happy with wings with the Fire Butler too, because you can kind of just walk away from them the way that you set them in there.
I don't take the lid off, but maybe twice, just once to. Right. Spray a little butter on there, and the second time just to sauce them, and for the last, you know, 15 minutes or so.
You know, it's such a killer with chicken being, you know, one of the most popular things to cook, and yet for competition, it is truly one of the hardest things to get dialed in, it seems like. So with the three of you guys cooking pretty regularly together, are you guys sharing the work, or, you know, does one how are you guys sorting it out?
Brad, when he's with us, has been prepping the pork, and I do the chicken generally before we go, but he's been prepping the pork, which takes a lot of heat off me, especially if I don't have the chicken prepped or something. And then he actually prepped the ribs this weekend, and then I prepped the brisket, and Carrie just makes sure, you know, we got everything we need the whole time. I don't ever have to even – Carrie and I don't even have to say a word anymore. He knows exactly what's going on, what I need, and it's really made it smooth. I mean, we haven't had our best cooks always. We're always missing one category, it seems like, but the cooks have been absolutely smooth, and that's made a big difference.
Yeah, and you're cooking more, and like we talk about, the more you cook – the more it becomes second nature. And you guys, you reminded me of Jeff Vanderlinde saying, everybody knows what I want, and we don't necessarily talk about it anymore. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do, and it makes it a lot easier on everybody. What's your plans for the rest of the year as far as number of contests? Because I know you were going to hit it pretty hard.
Yeah, we're going to we're cooking Venice. We're cooking – I'm leaving out in the morning. and heading up and picking up the trailer in Tifton, Georgia, and then heading on over to Dothan from there. And then and then we're going to do come back. We're doing Venice next weekend. Then we go all the way back up to Barnesville the next weekend, where which right by Thomaston. I don't know why they
right.
I wish they'd have put all three of those northern cooks up there at the same time so I could leave the trailer up there.
Right, right.
And then we're coming back to Fort Myers and cooking that. And then that'll be it for until Fernandina, because I don't think – well, I'm not cooking Oviedo, but we won't be cooking Oviedo, but we'll be cooking the last three contests that are, you know, Fernandina, Coco, and Madeira. So we're only missing one more. We were going to do Lakeland, but Jamie had to cancel, so we're not going to be doing that one.
Yeah, and it's too bad that I almost was going to give him a buzz about that, because I don't know for sure what took place about that. That was going to be a tough situation where it was going to be held, and really nailing down on alcoholic beverages. Not saying that there are a bunch of drunks, but let's face it, we like a cocktail. And after Brad posted that picture with you and Fireball today, I thought for sure you would get a sponsorship from Fireball. I mean, that's one of those, you should put that on the Fireball page.
we definitely like our Fireball. It's turned into a kind of a tradition. Actually, another team started it that doesn't cook much anymore, and we kind of picked up on it, and now we've got the 5:30 Fireball shot after I wrap, and then 7 o'clock Fireball shot when we put the ribs on, and then 9 o'clock everybody else comes over. So kind of gets my blood pumping into the right up until 10 o'clock.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. We talked about, and I don't know if this contest is going to happen, if you've noticed it. Is Tallahassee happening? I can't believe I'm asking you.
Well, Mark from Boogaloo, those guys don't think it's going to happen, but I don't know if anybody's actually talked to them or not, but last year it was just, I think they were charging people to come in, and it was hot, and just kind of
bad
timing on them, I guess.
We had a great time at that contest, but the guy charging us at the end of the night and everything else.
That was really cool, wasn't it?
Yeah. When you look back at the contest you do, what's a favorite contest of yours, and what's a wish list or a bucket list contest for you?
Well, bucket list would obviously at some point get the number 7 on Grands. I'd have to actually win my first one, but I think we're getting there. At some point, it's just like, it's hard, with the top 5 or 6 right now. It's hard to crack those guys. I mean, it's either Matt, Jim, or Rub. Somebody will come in every once in a while, but it's tough. We're gonna have to get better, and we're just not there yet. But doing the Jack Daniels at some point, and probably what we're gonna do is, we're gonna make a run at it here for a couple of years, and then I'm gonna start picking and choosing the contests around the United States and stuff, and kind of take it that way.
That'd be a lot of fun, especially since you guys have the room with your toy hauler to make it a vacation and do like some of these guys and go from one state to the next doing contests. I think that would be a blast to do, like in the summer when Brock was out of school or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
South
Carolina, the Festival of Discovery. That probably is one of my favorite contests. We did that last summer, and we've already signed up again for this summer. So that one's set in the downtown of Greenwood there, and there's 100 bars right through there. You can go eat, you can do whatever you want, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of teams coming up from Florida to participate in that one, and that'll be a blast.
Yeah, yeah. That's a highlight contest. Evans is another one. Have you done Evans yet?
I haven't. That's Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yes, it is.
I think, yeah. Oh, we always take the boat out, and we always have a group of friends we do a lot of stuff with on the weekend around here, and I just don't want to eat up a, and I apologize to Angela, but that's our weekend we take off to go boating and stuff.
Well, you've got two boat obligations that I know of. It's the Gasparilla and Memorial, right?
Yes. Yes, and then we take it out like summertime and starting in May when there's probably not any contests. We'll be taking it out every weekend then too. That's something we do as a family, and we got a lot of friends that have boats around here, and we got some islands out off of from where we live, and we run out there every weekend. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, I think that has rubbed off onto Rub, seeing that he just recently got a boat. So I do see posts like, "I never see Tim so happy as when he's on his boat."
Oh, yeah.
Now, you guys scallop and fish while you're out there?
No, we just pull the boat up and turn around by the island and start having a few beverages and hang out there all day, about knee-deep water. Have a good time.
Well, that sounds like a if you can swing that, and that's all good, because life's too short to eat bad barbecue, as Diva would say.
Yep, the swizzle sticks come out and the martinis start running, and everybody has a good time.
Well, there you go. Now, I know one of the things that you've really spent a lot of time doing lately is I see you as becoming a barbecue ambassador. I see you working more with some of the newer teams when I'm there repping and not, you know, when I'm cooking, I didn't really notice that you did that. But when I'm repping, I notice that you spend time with some of the new guys.
Yeah, I try, and you know, because Jim and Matt and let's just name a couple, Tommy from Blitzkrieg, all those guys, when we first started, you know, hell, we didn't know what we were doing, and they all started coming up to us and giving us some hints, saying, "Hey, you know, you could do this a little better, or try this, or something like that." And so every contest, if we're close to a backyard team or something, like we were in Thomaston this weekend, or like we were in Northport, if we're close to a team like that, I make it a point to go out and talk to them, and you know, say maybe you know you could skin, because a lot of those guys, they don't even start trimming until 10 o'clock at night. It just kills
me. I know.
But
me too.
And they'll be sitting there, you know, before I go to bed, and I've already got my big meats on and everything, and they're just breaking the chicken out.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll say, you know, here might be a way to help you get this chicken skinned a lot quicker tonight, so you're not all up all night cleaning your chicken up, you know. And you know, they'll ask me, you know, during the cook and stuff. I try to, you know, Saturdays it's tough. You know, it's business for me Saturday. Making sure my cook goes good, but Friday I'm definitely trying to help pass it on, you know, pay it forward to what a lot of the other teams did for us.
Yeah, and it's kind of, to me, it's an important thing not to forget to do, because we want to welcome them in. You know, you were at the Northport contest. Don't you think that has the potential to be a really great contest?
It does. It does. If they can get their flea market or whatever the hell they had out there in front that wouldn't let us in, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I didn't even come in until like 3 o'clock. I know some of them came in. Like the window of coming in was like 3 to 7 in the morning, and then 1:30 to after that you could come in after 1:30. So I just trimmed everything up at the house, so I was good. But, you know, you kind of miss out on the Thursday night aspect, which, of course, you know, that's when I usually do my thing as far as getting my party out of the way. And then Friday, a lot of people don't see me. I'm up getting everything ready and slipping it off some, you know. Hell, you've had to wake me up before.
Well, yes, I have. And see, I could just let you go, but I don't. And that's, you know, it's kind of funny you said that. We do kind of all look out for each other. I mean, that is what it's all about. I mean, every once in a while you let somebody sleep through it, but they probably deserved it. When I first started, it was the Newmans, when they were out, they were kind of the party animals, and you took that over for a little while.
Well, I haven't even seen them in a long time. I don't know what's going on with them right now.
I think they were, what contest were they at? I forget. I saw Ricky one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Winter Haven.
Yeah, I was just going to say it was Winter Haven. I forgot. Yeah. And they were pretty quiet. So, it's one of those things. You never know. We're going to miss some contests this summer. Not having Live Oak is kind of a sad thing for a lot of us. That was a great contest, but there'll be plenty others. Anything that you want to, if you had to give advice, I always like to ask teams if they had some advice that they would give a new team or somebody thinking about it or somebody like that BJ that called in, what would you say to them? Now, but be nice. Don't go into the BJ thing.
you don't want me to do that?
No.
I would just say, for us, is not get down. We sat there for a lot of contests and didn't hear our name called. And the main thing is Matt, Jim, Rub, these guys all got classes and stuff, and you can, your learning curve, you can really fix that and get going. And that's what happened to us. And the main thing I would say is take a class. Don't get frustrated, and really pay attention to those classes. Those boys know what they're doing week in and week out.
Yeah,
true. And I tell you, I think, they're not giving everything away in those classes, but I know Jim and Matt, they're always changing their stuff up. But in class, they're giving you 90% of what they do. So, you have a good starting point. You got to find your way, and you got to get the tenderness right and all that. Takes time. That's what took a lot of our time, was just making sure that, getting the tenderness right on there. I just thought because it looked good and pretty in the box, we were good, but I was wrong.
Yeah. And let me just ask you, because we didn't make mention of this, you're cooking chicken with the Fire Butler. You've got your gateways, but what are you cooking your main meats on now?
I got one smoker that I run my pork butts on, and the other smoker runs the brisket, the gravity fed. And I'm still using the Southern Bread gravity fed.
Oh, okay.
Fed.
I didn't remember what you
really
were cooking
good
on.
Cookers. I mean, they stay right on the number I want them to, so I can get my 7 hours sleep.
Wow, 7 hours of sleep. And is there
10
any
to 5.
Yeah, is there any sponsors that I know you? You've got a few new sponsors. Any sponsors you want to thank? Give you an opportunity to do
sure
that.
Yeah, sure do. The sponsor that that believed in us first was Whiskey Bent Barbecue Supply, and then Jim Sweet Smoke Q. He believed in us, and now for a while now, Sean McCraney with Mass Purveyors is taking care of us, great, supplying us with the A9s that are coming out now. But the pork is always good. Haven't quite figured out how to get my ribs right every week, but the ribs are always great. The prairie fresh ribs, and Matt with Hot Watch Chulas has he's got some of the best sauces on the planet, and he definitely helps us out a lot. With our flavors and stuff.
Well, I appreciate
you
coming
on. Those guys are supporting us.
Yeah, and it does make a difference when you've got some of those guys that you can turn to and talk to. Your sponsors want to see you do well too, so it's all good to get those guys involved.
We don't want to lose the sponsors, so we got to do pretty decent.
Yeah, and you got to keep cooking because it makes it tough when you get away from it for whatever the reason for a little while. So good luck tomorrow. What time are you getting out of Dodge?
I'm leaving here about 8 o'clock in the morning. I should, by the time I pick up the trailer in Tifton, I should be rolling into Dothan, set up by 5 o'clock or so.
Did several people leave their trailers up there?
I think Jim McCoyne actually drove from Thomaston and dropped his trailer off. I don't know about anybody else. I just knew I needed to unhook my trailer as soon as possible so I could get home. Because it was horrible. I mean, it rained for, and I had a lot of people with us, so we didn't, you know, it was pretty cramped. It's a big trailer.
Oh, yeah, you
five
had.
Or six of you.
Yeah.
It just turned into a big mud. I mean, you stepped out of your trailer, and you were just sloshing around in mud.
Yeah. Robin said she felt like there was a jet plane next to her. I talked to her, and they were just so loaded with, you know, it sounded like an airplane. Engine that are all night long. So,
yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. It just kept coming the whole night. And then some of these poor people, they were in, you know, it's probably the only time they cook all year or whatever. They had, like, tents out and stuff like that.
Oh.
They're bailing water out of tents and just trying. I mean, there's no way they could have a good cook because they were just too busy just trying to stay dry.
Oh,
and it was,
that's awful.
I felt really good about having our trailer there because that made it where we could still compete at a high level.
Yeah. Yeah. It does make it tough. I mean, I think we're not wusses. We just hate to do it in the rain. Yeah. Well, listen, good luck. Be careful on the road and we'll be looking forward to seeing how you do this week in Alabama.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on and hopefully we can steal one from these guys here one of these days.
Okay. Great catching up with you, Tim. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. That's Tim Malloy with Backyard Bros, and it's not the Backyard Brothers, those organizers that insist on saying brothers instead of bros. From the audience, we're always yelling bros, but they don't always hear it. Listen, that's it for me, guys. Have a great weekend. If you're traveling, stay safe. If you're competing, good smoke and luck, and otherwise, I'll be with you next week. And don't forget to call BJ again, 727-333-0766. Don't hesitate to give him a call. Thanks. Bye.